Welcome to the History Reviewed channel, where we analyze the lies and deceptions of history. Today we're going to take a look at something that is intense. We're going to get down to the nuts and bolts of guns, ammunition, who has got what is the potential in the event of racial attacks, etc. This particular investigation was probably one of the most successful that I've ever had in all my many years of digging into topics here relating to Southern Africa. We really went as far as we possibly could, and we did well, and I'm very pleased with what we've discovered, because we discovered things that I didn't even know myself before. How it started was a close friend said to me the one day, he said, "Jan, why is the government which is so bankrupt, why is the government bringing in such large consignments of ammunition into South Africa?" He said, "The government hasn't got money. Why are they bringing in all this stuff?" So I said to him, "You know, how do you know about this? You know, what do you know exactly?" And from there, he started sharing with me what he knew. And then between the two of us, we went and we did a lot of digging with the best contacts that we have. And we came up with this stuff that I'm about to tell you. Now, with regard to guns, one of my concerns right from the beginning of African crisis has been, how many guns are in the hands of whites and blacks? You know, what weapons are there in this country? What exactly do we know? And it's actually an amazingly difficult topic to get fixed numbers on. I'm going to read to you from some notes from a friend of mine in 2015. This is from November 2015. And this is what he told me then. My gun contacts are not as good as they used to be, but this will still give you a pretty good idea. This is probably as honest as we're ever going to get. "Now there are 3 million licensed guns in around 1.8 million gun owners' hands. Most guns are in white hands, but half the owners are blacks, due to 99.9% of black gun owners having only one gun. Currently, there are 12,000 applications for a gun license every month on average. Gun shops that have closed down since 2004 is 95%, over 900 dealers. Let me stop there. The ANC government of South Africa went out to try and disarm all whites in the year 2004. And the way they did it was they brought about all kinds of changes in gun legislation, etc., to make it really difficult to own guns and to make it unbelievably difficult to get gun licenses. And that is actually what my friend is referring to, is that after 2004, 95% of all gun shops in South Africa shut down. They wiped out the whole firearms industry almost completely, and that is 900 dealers, 95% of them gone. You really struggled to get a firearms dealer. I found that it was very hard even to find a shooting range. It's been a nightmare ever since, and they did it by changing the law and making it almost impossible to get guns, but small numbers of firearms dealers have managed to survive. And they tried to make the law so tough that you couldn't get a gun license. There was a whole long rigmarole of how to get it. But whites worked out a plan, and I'm not going to go into the details, but people worked out plans and they found ways to start getting legal gun licenses. And at a point, the whites were queuing like I've never seen them in my life before. At one point, I remember going to the police station to get my own license, and there were just freaking hundreds of whites there, man. And you could see it's just white people. And whites who hardly ever fired a gun, they went and they got a gun license. And the police ended up with such a large number of applications that it took them 2 years to process them. So from my friend's emails to me that I compiled, he wrote the following. In 2009, hundreds were complaining that they were still waiting 4 years after applying for their new license. The Central Firearms Registry claimed that over 900,000 people surrendered their firearms voluntarily. No mention was made about the many public threats in the media of up to 15 years imprisonment for non-compliance. In 2009, two separate high court judges ruled that the old green licenses remained valid, but no one who applied got their firearms back. So he's saying that even if your previous license was legal as per the Constitution, that if you went to the police and you said, "Listen, give me my gun back because it is mine and this is not in contravention of the law," the police never gave anything back. And it says, despite the FCA declaring that compensation would be paid, not one surrendered firearm was compensated for. So the bottom line here is that he's referring to a time when the government was threatening the whites and they were saying, "Hand over your guns or else you can get into jail for up to 15 years," and 900,000 whites handed in their guns. And nobody got compensated for anything, nobody got anything back, even though constitutionally all of this was bogus. This goes to show how these governments and these organizations, how they can break the law themselves, and in the end, what use is a judge? Judge doesn't help you, nobody helps you. You're screwed, man. Somebody from America who actually tried to help us here in South Africa was Larry Pratt of the Gun Owners of America. And he came and created Gun Owners of South Africa, GOSA, and they still exist. They're not as tough as Gun Owners of America, but they do the best they can. And my friend was telling me that another gun organization is a organization called Gun Sight, and they've got 25,000 members. This is now years ago, but very few actually pay for their services. And then there's also the Black Gun Owners Association of South Africa. So what the whites have tried to do in South Africa is they've tried to get blacks who want to own guns legally to also, go through the processes, etc. Because that way it's not just whites looking for guns. Everybody's looking for weapons for self-defense. So as a result of this, black gun owners, legal black gun owners, that has taken off. And blacks are buying lots of guns. Blacks may actually be buying more legal guns than whites now. However, a very important part of this is that there are huge numbers of black criminals who manage to get guns illegally. And that's also a topic to get to. And there you'll find that the police also played a role in that. Believe it or not, the police, the South African police, actually has, in a, let's say, unofficial capacity, assisted black criminals in getting guns that actually used to belong to whites. So the whites have actually been tricked out of their guns. They were scared by the government, changed laws. They came in and threatened people with long jail sentences if they didn't hand over their guns, and then wham. At the end of it turns out to be a whole bunch of unconstitutional, illegal trickery by the government and the police. But nobody gets their guns back, nobody gets a cent. So whites totally lied to, utterly cheated, total scam, hey? What is the use of a constitution? What is the use of politics? As you will see, it's worth nothing. So as I'm going through my notes from my friend, I see he then sent me a change and he said, no, the last sentence is wrong. We still have 3 million guns in 2 million gun owners' hands, increasing by 12,000 per month. Then he said, it's a little more complicated than that. Whites are buying multiple firearms. Blacks are buying one gun only for self-defense. So effectively, roughly 10 times more blacks are buying than the rate of whites. Whites just buy around the same quantity, that's all. So basically what he was saying to me in 2015 is that whites and blacks are legally buying guns at about the same rate. It's just that the whites who are buying the guns are buying so many more. So among the whites, you don't get that many whites who own guns, but those who do, they own multiple guns. Whereas the blacks are just coming in to buy weapons for self-defense. And I think the blacks are mostly buying like 9mm pistols. I think that is what they are mostly buying. So, some more. Getting stats from the registry, that's the firearms registry, is impossible, of course, if for nothing else because their computer system is totally fucked. That's how my friend wrote it in 2015. So far, it's cost them many tens of millions, but like all government acquisitions, it was a fraud. And then he was saying to me that he thinks the number of guns that whites are buying per month is less than 1,000. So that's the rate he was guessing back then. My friend also explained that when the constitution of the new South Africa was written up in the Vereniging Peace Accord, owning firearms was a right. We have a constitutional right to own firearms. But he said that due to the way the black government has now changed the rules, what used to be a right has now become a privilege. So then my friend said the following, item 6, the possession of guns will be allowed to persons requiring them for their protection on taking out a license according to law. Then in answer to questions, my friend said the following, he puts backfired question mark, says completely, thousands of surrendered firearms have been discovered at crime scenes over the last few years. Even GFSA admit that. GFSA is gun-free South Africa. Now, gun-free South Africa is one of those liberal creations in South Africa. And these scumbags say that the real problem in South Africa is gun ownership and, you know, they need to get guns away from people. It's exactly the same argument that's used in the United States, that's used everywhere else. It simply says, you know, we've got to get rid of guns. And then the people who actually lose their guns are actually the legal firearms owners, because the illegal ones, they don't get touched. And of course, you have to ask yourself, are these liberals stupid? Or are they as dumb as a fox? And they know very well that the real group of people who's going to lose their guns are honest white firearms owners. They know that that's what's going to happen, but they aren't going to say that out in the open. I think that all these moves are really aimed at one group. It's aimed at reducing firearms ownership among whites in South Africa. End of story. It's just like America. Go and see who owns the most guns. It's going to be white males. And what happens with all these laws? These laws actually take the guns away from the white males. That's what really happens. But the liberals pretend, oh, you see, we're trying to save lives and we want to stop murder and everything. But, you know, our methods are going to be totally ineffective against actual black criminals who are murdering people, but it's going to be effective against legal white gun owners. But they never come out and say these things. And this gun-free South Africa, highly dodgy group of people, but it's got all those liberal connections, got all those mass media connections. So this little group of troublemaking liberal scum go around and they are busy messing around and working against the whites who are trying desperately to keep their weapons because they don't want to be shot by freaking murderers and criminals. In September 2018 on History Reviewed, I published an article and it was titled Two Charts, How South African Newspapers Lie About Gun Laws, Police Sell Guns to Criminals. So I'm just going to read little selected portions of this. My comments were, here is an interesting article from a gun organization. Take special note of how police sold firearms that whites had handed in to criminals and then the murder rate went up. I think 1,200 murders have been linked to guns sold by rogue police to criminals. And it went on to point to an article written by a person, and he went on to attack the Sunday Times in South Africa. And he spoke about how the Sunday Times and Gun-Free South Africa colluded together and they published this bogus article. In here, it says, now as for the fraudulent and entirely baseless claim by Gun-Free South Africa that the Firearms Control Act of 2000 saved lives between 2000 and 2005. And he goes on to talk about a fraudulent study performed by Dr. Richard Matsopoulos of the Medical Research Council. And he goes on, he shows the charts and all that. And he starts taking this thing apart. So the huge liberal media organization, Sunday Times, published this rubbish that was 100% junk science that supported gun-free South Africa. So what basically happened is that when whites were forced into handing over firearms, then you had policemen actually stealing those firearms and selling them. Now, the only policeman who's ever actually been caught, to my knowledge, and everybody made a big show of him, was an Afrikaans guy. There was a white Afrikaans policeman, Colonel Chris Prinsloo, and he stole lots of firearms, and he sold it to violent criminals. So if the criminal, if the bad cop is a white guy, then it splashed all over the newspapers. But I have not seen them come out and tell you about the black cops who sold firearms and where those firearms went. Because it can't just be this one white policeman who's responsible for stealing all the firearms. But he now got nailed. In this article, the author writes about the year 2010. So this is 6 years after 2004. And he says, what happened in 2010? A firearm amnesty. Law-abiding gun owners who had not migrated over to the new system were coerced and intimidated by the South African Police Service and Minister of Police to surrender their firearms. Thousands of those firearms were then stolen by corrupt policemen like Colonel Chris Prinsloo and his colleagues and sold to violent criminals, who then used these guns, which were safe in civilian possession, until amnesty. So the whites are scared into giving up their guns, then police steal the guns and sell them to criminals. And the guy that's at the top of the list is this white guy, but we don't know how many black police were also stealing and selling firearms. And even though that white guy has been taken care of, you still have these things continuing to this day. So the author of this article said, I hope it is clear that there is much more to this story than gun-free South Africa and the Sunday Times chooses to tell us. The public is purposefully being lied to. It is being deceived by a sock puppet NGO, non-governmental organization. He's referring to gun-free South Africa, who represents no membership base in civil society, to prime public opinion for more irrational gun control measures in the very near future. So the author writes, may what I have written here shine some light of truth in the dark and dank tunnel of deceitful gutter journalism. Then in an annexure, he said, gun-free South Africa often claimed to represent civil society, yet they have never furnished any sort of material proof of this. At the time of writing, the Paratus Twitter account has more followers than them, and we sit with more than 17,000 subscribers across platforms. Gun Owners of South Africa has over 45,000 members, yet we enjoy not a smidgen of the media and political attention that gun-free South Africa is given. Checkbook journalism and political skullduggery at work here. And so he ends his article like that. And this is published on a website called paratus.info. So it's paratus.info. And you just have to search for Sunday Times 2018. And then you can see all the various things. So the point there is they go through a whole rigmarole to destroy all the gun shops, to make it impossible for whites to own firearms. When the whites still aren't making use of the new system, they scare them into handing over large numbers of weapons. Then those weapons, which are supposed to be destroyed, then those weapons end up in the hands of criminals. And I've had friends tell me that they find these criminals, they've got guns, and you know what? The serial numbers are all filed off. These guns come from proper legal firearms owners. So let's get back to other information that my friends told me. Interestingly enough, my friend from 2015 was telling me that the ministers, the government ministers in South Africa, that they've got 5,000 police protecting them. So the government ministers have got 5,000 police, armed obviously, protecting them. And yet they want to disarm the whites. As you can see, it should be as clear as daylight. They don't want white people to own guns. And they're using every trick in the book to stop it. Previously, whites could own a lot of guns. Then I think as a result of those efforts in 2004, they managed to get it so that whites, or rather anybody, could own up to 12 weapons each. But now, recently in 2020, I'm hearing that the Minister of Police, I think it is, has said that he wants to bring down gun ownership to one gun per person. That's how much he wants to bring it down to. I'm utterly convinced that just like in the USA, the real reason for disarming whites is they don't want whites to start shooting back. That's what they don't want. They are afraid that whites will shoot back. And that's why they're disarming them. And that stuff that they're trying in the USA now to try and seize people's firearms, it's the same thing, man. In the USA, the Jews are afraid the whites are going to slaughter them. They know that this can happen. Here in South Africa, it's the blacks and the Jews that are afraid that the whites are going to slaughter them. One of my friends also pointed me to an interesting article on the Daily Maverick. dailymaverick.co.za. And this was about a white guy, a Belgian-born South African firearms dealer. His name was Ivan Monsieur. And he was a ardent whistleblower here in South Africa on anything that the police and others are doing wrong. And in 2013, this Ivan Monsieur was actually cornered by some fake police and he was killed. I'll just read a little bit of the article. It says, despite overwhelming evidence pointing to the identities of the assassins of Belgian-born South African firearms dealer and police reservist Ivan Monsieur, the murder was never properly investigated. At the time of his death in June 2009, Monsieur was investigating a carjacking and robbery syndicate involving ANC cadres. So ANC government, it's our one-party state, the party, and it says ANC cadres and police officers. But Monsieur's past as a restless whistleblower in the shady world of international arms deals had made him an enemy in many places. And so it says, Monsieur was killed execution style on a deserted road in Midrand because he knew too much and refused to be silenced. When the managing director of New Generation Ammunition, based in Centurion, that's the company he owned, was flagged down that day by two men in police uniforms, he immediately sensed something was wrong, one of his close friends told the Daily Maverick this week. The friend's assumption was based on accounts of farm workers who witnessed the attack from a distance in a maize field. Several people closely connected to the slain arms dealer, including family members, business associates, former police reservist colleagues, and police members involved in the investigation of his death, were interviewed. They all requested anonymity. Based on eyewitness accounts and analysis of the scene of the shooting, Monsieur's killers were driving an unmarked white Toyota Corolla, which was fitted with blue lights, like the police, and sounded an emergency siren. The first shot brought him to his knees, the second was fired into his head. So they had blacks, they sent blacks to go and kill him, because he was talking too much about the shady stuff that's going on. Because one of the big things that we are trying to figure out here in South Africa is, how is it that the criminals are constantly getting weapons? There seems to be no shortage of weapons and ammunition for black criminals. Why is that happening? And I think guys like this were onto these things. Among the other points made, it says, a wounded man suspected of being one of Monsieur's killers was tracked down to a medical facility where he was receiving treatment. Nobody questioned him. So in all the leads that they get, the police just don't do anything. They just pretend like nothing happened. The next thing is, the wounded man lost a lot of blood on the scene of the attack and it was still visible weeks afterwards. But nobody took samples to make a possible DNA match with the man in the hospital. He was anonymously identified as a police officer. Monsieur's Turkish-manufactured Gersan 9mm Parabellum pistol was rare in the sense that only 14 of them were imported in a particular consignment and most were sold to the Lesotho government. When a man was arrested 6 months after Monsieur's death on criminal charges with a Gersan with no serial number in his possession, the police failed to run a ballistics test on the pistol to see if there was a match with the shells found on the murder scene in Midrand. The police failed to investigate why the Toyota Corolla used in the attack was seen being repaired in a private repair shop in Tembisa. Tembisa is a black township, okay? So the car's being repaired in a private repair shop in Tembisa and not at a police workshop. This information came from members of the police, the police's dog unit, who happened to drive past the repair shop and saw the vehicle there. So all kinds of weird, weird stuff showing that the government sent police to go and kill a white guy who's involved in arms, and they go and they blow him away. And then when they've got all the possible evidence to show who were the killers, all of it just disappears nicely into thin air. So let's go and look into this thing about ammunition arriving in South Africa. When my friend said that there were large amounts of ammunition arriving in South Africa, we started our investigation and we used all the contacts we had to see what we could pick up. Eventually in our investigation, we were able to show that the ammunition that's coming into South Africa was not ordered by the government. It was private stuff. It was ordered by companies that are supplying ammunition, mostly to civilians, but also sometimes, I think, to the police as well, but mostly to civilians. And it was interesting to see the amount of ammunition that comes in. You're talking about millions of rounds of ammunition each year. So I'm going to be reading from emails from various contacts of mine. So here goes. Okay, so let's get some perspective. A few years ago, when I was in the firearm loop, I knew the police alone would buy 8 million rounds of ammunition a year just for practice. Given that there were, at the time, around 1,100 police stations with about 160,000 members, give or take, they're still about the same now. The civilian firearm numbers are pretty opaque these days, but must accept that there are around 3 million guns in 2 million or so civilian owners' hands, give or take. When I told my friend that we suspected that there was about 2 million rounds of ammunition coming in, he said to me, "So bottom lining the matter, no, this is not a lot of ammo. As for supplying Southern Africa, in other words, countries outside South Africa, that's not likely. Most ammo for other sub-Saharan countries would not go through South Africa. Well, not legally anyway." I tried to get more information on, you know, who's firing bullets, how many, what do we know, what can we guess? And the reply is, "As for how many rounds are fired by civilians, I imagine you mean legally, would be hard to figure out accurately, even if one knew how many had been sold in a given year, which would be available from all the dealers, which is also in itself a problem as they don't exactly get along with each other. So nobody's got like centralized statistics of the rounds of ammunition that are sold." Then he says, "Don't even start with the criminals because absolutely no one would know that figure. If I were to take a wild guess, with only a few shooting ranges left standing these days, because the shooting ranges have also gone out of business as a result of the gun shops going out of business," he says, "there are at least 42,000 hunters in one of the hunting organizations, and they are shooting maybe 200 rounds maximum on average, which gives us about 1 million rounds per annum. Then you've got the sports shooters, and they're not much more, but as he says, they are much more trigger happy, and they fire at least twice as many rounds as the hunters. So that makes about maybe 2 million rounds for them." Then he said, "Then to round off, the SA gun gang is a much, much larger so-called occasional crowd, people who have a firearm but rarely practice. perhaps a few dozen rounds a year, by, say, only a few hundred thousand that bother to practice. Maybe another few million. So he's saying the vast number of people who have got legal firearms and don't even use them, that in total, if just even a few hundred thousand do a bit of practicing, that would still require a good couple of million rounds. So he says, overall, I'd hazard a very wild guess at 4 to 6 million rounds a year, conservatively. So he reckons that private shooting, probably even more than half of it done by whites, would consume 4 to 6 million rounds a year. Thus, in trying to find out how many guns there are that whites and blacks have, I asked this guy if he had some thoughts, and this is his best thumb suck. So this is by no means firm, but he said, regarding my question, I'd said, by the way, in your stats of 2 million gun owners, what is your best guess as to how many are in white hands? And he said, well, firstly, that figure's probably a little on the low side. Even back in 2010, a year after the 5-year Firearms Control Act purge, we still had 2 million gun owners. More than half were legal black gun owners. Since then, licensing has continued, albeit haltingly. Blacks still want legal guns, but even more blacks want illegal guns. And by that I only mean non-registered, not necessarily to be used for crime, willingly supplied by the South African Police Force and South African National Defence Force, of course. Thus, my friend is quite convinced that it is guns from the police and the military that end up in the hands of black criminals. He's convinced of that. I'll get back to that because other stuff that another friend of mine had points more closely at the police than the military, but we'll get to that. So he says, the underground market is still rife with tens of thousands of previously legal white-owned guns surrendered to the South African police services between 2004 and 2009. Then conveniently disposed of on the black market by senior South African police personnel. And now there's another twist to this, a very interesting South African twist. Is he was telling me that the illegal guns are not so much being owned by one illegal owner. The illegal guns are actually being rented to criminals. Criminals come, these blacks come, and they rent the guns to use them in crime. And they are then paid for, and they return the weapons. And he said, why do you think most of those recovered from crime busts, most of the guns, have had serial numbers filed off? So they take these weapons that were obtained from whites surrendering their weapons, and then they just file off the serial numbers. And so there are definitely then people who are actually renting out those weapons. This guy went on to say that when they get the guns that are handed in by the whites, that the supposed mass destruction of these guns is itself fake news. So you get gun-free South Africa and them attending these things, and yes, yes, the guns being destroyed, but actually that's not happening. This is what my friend wrote to me. He said, because if they weren't, then the entire sham of all those very public mass destructions of civilian guns attended by gun-free South Africa should be exposed for what they were, fake news. Oftentimes, the public footage rarely showed actual weapons going into the crusher. It was mostly evidence bags supposedly filled with all those confiscated evil guns. He referred me to another Daily Maverick article called "When Hell Is Not Hot Enough," a top cop who supplied weapons to country's gangsters and right-wingers. And this is the reference to that Prinsloo, the white guy, Colonel Prinsloo, who was sent to jail for 18 years. And he was involved in 20 charges of racketeering, corruption, and money laundering. And it is estimated that this white cop sold an estimated 9 million rands worth of lethal illegal weapons and ammunition in the Cape Flats in the south. But of course, one of the things you've got to keep in mind with these things, if some of you have listened even to that Simon Roche from the Saidlanders, he tells you the time when he did work with the ANC, and he tells you about corruption that he knew about, that he's keeping his mouth shut about. And that's exactly like this white cop. These people, once they're in with those big wigs of the blacks, and they no doubt see what they get up to, then they also start getting in on this free-for-all. And they think that they can get away with it. So there's huge ruckus when the white guy gets caught, but not much mention about the blacks, who are also busy selling civilian weapons from the police stashes. But it does show you that a white man inside the system can play the system quite well. It says here that for 2 years, Colonel Chris Lodewijk Prinsloo, once a respected policeman who was considered the firearms guru in the South African police service, did not touch his police salary. Instead, he and his family comfortably lived off the proceeds of crime, traveling overseas, paying university fees, buying safe cars. Well, the blacks are doing it all the time, so eventually the whites also get in on the act. And that's something to remember about these multiracial liberal societies that whites in America and Europe are moving into. You're going to move into this same dark world, and then you'll find that you can also be one of the criminals. And it may be that in order to survive, that whites have to be criminals. That's the way it looks to me. The thing to remember about the mass media is the mass media is not an objective source for the truth and reality for what's going on. They cherry pick the things that they want to expose. And if they want to expose somebody and destroy somebody, then they'll do it. And if there are 10 other people that they have to hide, then they'll just be silent about it. That's how the mass media works around the world. To summarize, it appears that most of the ammunition that is fired by civilians in South Africa, blacks and whites, that this ammunition comes from overseas. Perhaps there are a couple of firearms manufacturers here. I don't know firmly. I suspect that that South African-Belgian guy who was shot, that he had a ammunition factory. But it may have been small. But I can't be sure. I don't know who he was manufacturing ammunition for. From friends who were much more knowledgeable about the army, I got this information. Jan, it is a possibility that ammunition can be stolen from the SANDF. The SANDF is what the military of South Africa is called under black rule. So it's got the N for national instead of the SADF, which is what it was under apartheid. So he says, Jan, it is possibly that ammunition can be stolen from SANDF. However, I must say that the control over ammunition in the SANDF is by far better than the South African police service. The control from factories to the ammo depots, like the biggest one at Dar, is very strict, and also from De Aar and other depots like one at Jan Kempdorp to the various units. From the different units, the ammunition is expended in operations or training or put back in the ammunition corps' hands. Ammunition consumption certificates are completed and stock take takes place on various levels. As defense budget decreased, I noted a very big drop in ammunition available to the SANDF. But to answer you, I think that the level of discipline and accountability varies much between different units and bases. If enough people in the chain of command are corrupt or in on it, they can create ammunition consumption certificates and schedule bogus exercises where ammo is not really expended. Then they cart away the ammunition and declare that it was expended, but in reality it wasn't used. This will be possible with small arms ammunition. More advanced stuff like missiles have more control from the industry, and it won't be so easy to steal it. Most of the state small arms ammunition is made by PMP and Denel sub-companies, as well as Rheinmetall in SA. These factories make lots of ammo and export much of it. They supply SANDF, SAPS, that's the police, correctional services, that's the prisons, and the public also buys from them. You can buy PMP ammo at any gun store for various calibers. The SANDF maintains ammunition reserves and has strategic stocks in preservation. How much, I am not sure, but these stocks should actually become less and less because every year the organization buys less ammo and continues to expend ammo on training and ops. Although the reserved earmarked for war or emergency should be the same amount and maintained at a certain level, sometimes ammunition is expended to keep it from getting too old or blown up at De Aar under controlled explosions so it does not become unstable. PMP is the name of our biggest ammunition factory. It is in Pretoria and it sells to anybody, if you have the right paperwork. Lots of security companies buy their ammo from PMP, in particular 9mm for pistols, 5.56mm for civilian version of R4, R5. R4 and R5 are military weapons, these are military rifles in the SANDF. The R4 is the South African name for the Belgian FN. The R5 is a locally developed military weapon, and I think it uses the 5.56mm rounds or something. The security companies also favor weapons like AR-15, that must be the American AR-15, that dash prod looks like R-5, and they all basically use 5.56mm. He says, if the EFF have their own security company with necessary licenses and permits, they can buy ammunition over the counter. He's referring to Julius Malema of the EFF. EFF is Economic Freedom Fighters. They're basically hardcore young communists. And this is Malema who said, kill the farmers, kill the Boers, kill the whites. And then the constitutional courts or whatever say, no, no, that's not hate speech. So he's basically saying, if the EFF, set up their own security company with the necessary licenses and permits, they could go and buy ammunition over the counter. There is legislation, however, on how much ammo a given security company or individual may have at any one time. Not sure how much for companies, but for example, I myself as a firearm collector can have up to 200 rounds per caliber for each weapon I own. And I think that the general rule for civilians, white civilians in South Africa, is 200 rounds of ammunition is the most you're allowed to have at any one time. And it seems to be 200 rounds per weapon. But if you've only got one weapon or two weapons, then that's all you got. So the whites will not be able to shoot on automatic. Okay, let's continue. Denel PMP. It stands for Denel Pretoria Metal Processings. So this is a local ammunition company. This is the biggest one in the country. In writing about a civil war, he says, "It is a big setup, and I always wonder how they would react to a civil war situation. Government will obviously secure the facility and try to keep it for themselves." And that's what one would expect. In a civil war or race war situation, the government will obviously want to deny arms and ammunition to the whites, etc. So that would be part and parcel of how these things would go. They no doubt have got security plans and plans for the army and the police to control various facilities, etc. So that is the grand total of everything that I've been able to pull together over the years, as well as with this recent investigation. That's all that I can tell you about guns in South Africa. And clearly, there is a lot of ammunition floating around. It's coming either from inside the country or outside the country, and it goes to various places. And South Africans shoot off millions of rounds of ammunition every year, whether it is the army practicing or the police or the whites practicing or the blacks practicing. There's a lot of ammunition there. I went to a shooting range several weeks ago because I haven't fired my little 9mm pistol in many years. And when I was at the shooting range, a black guy came into the stall next to me, and he had a whole bunch of weapons. Some of them were shotguns, others were rifles, and he was blasting away like crazy. And he had a lot of weapons there, I must tell you. So it's not just whites just shooting. They are blacks, and they've got some serious caliber weapons that they're either experimenting with or buying or own or whatever. Things like hunting and sports shooting are probably white dominated. I would suspect that sports shooting and hunting probably is mostly whites. Whites do more shooting than the blacks do. So in that sense, it's like the USA and elsewhere. But the scale of our shooting and the scale of our weapons ownership is nothing compared to Americans. We cannot own even 1% of the types of weapons that Americans have, never mind the quantity that you people have. You people can have all sorts of things that you can use. And I've seen Americans with World War II guns that you physically sit on, or that are anti-tank guns or anti-aircraft guns, and they're sitting there and they're firing away with those things. All that kind of stuff is not possible in South Africa. Even a thing like a machine gun, there are extremely strict rules on things like machine guns. I think even if you own a machine gun, it might be that they even prevent you from having the ability to have it on automatic. So there are very strict rules regarding guns. I know that there was a time where the government, you won't believe this, round about that time when they were busy shutting down the gun shops and trying to disarm the whites in 2004, The government even went to museums. They went to museums and they made sure that every weapon in the museums, even weapons that are like 100 years and more old, that every single weapon in the museums could not be turned into an actual weapon. They had to go and make sure that they were damaged in some way so that not even weapons in museums could be used by the whites. These people are shit scared that whites will get hold of anything and that whites are a real threat and danger. It's exactly the same as in America. And I think this is going to be a worldwide thing. They're trying to get guns out of the hands of whites in every country in the Western world is definitely on the list of things that our friends, let's call them the liberals, in inverted brackets, that they will get up to. Make no mistake, they don't want white people to be armed. And they are scared shitless that we'll lay our hands on something somehow. Of the 3 million firearms, whatever, that we've got, probably a huge portion of them are just 9mm pistols. So they wouldn't be the kinds of things you could use in a true war. But it's better to have a 9mm pistol in your hands than nothing. I would guess, if I look at some of the statistics from the USA and everywhere, I would guess that probably 60% or so, 60% of the weapons are actually 9mm pistols. So you'd come down to a few hundred thousand weapons that whites have. And then, of course, the ammunition that whites have wouldn't be that much. But all that said, it's better to have a few hundred thousand weapons and some rounds of ammunition than nothing. And if people did try to kill us, there would definitely be some methods of shooting back, even if one is going to run out of bullets after not such a long time. But you are not totally defenseless. It's not a great situation. It's a lot worse than it was. But it's better than nothing. It's definitely better than nothing. And these people want to keep us down. They want to see to it that whites can't defend themselves. Our enemies are scared shitless of us all. Even though we don't think that, I can tell you, when you actually look at their behavior, they are scared shitless. They're scared shitless that even some old people in South Africa might lay their hands on some guns at a point. From the consensus of my friends, it definitely appears as if the whole issue about who supplies the criminals with guns and ammunition, that is the untold story. Nobody seems to get into that. How do the criminals get the weapons with the serial numbers filed off, and how do they get the ammunition for that? There has got to be either a lot of corruption going on inside the country, or they must have some mechanism to get these things outside the country. I would suspect that it's inside the country, and most everybody seems to point to the police itself. The police as being the biggest possible loophole by which criminals can not only get guns, but very possibly ammunition as well. The police might actually be one of the big loopholes. But you never know what other loopholes could exist. However, at least this paints some kind of picture of how arms and ammunition works in South Africa. In the past, I only focused on trying to figure out how many guns there were. This is the first time that we've actually managed to piece together information on ammunition, how it works, where it comes from, where it goes to. At least we've got some sort of picture that gives you an idea of how things actually work. But these friends of mine were very concerned that the government was importing millions of rounds of ammunition and that maybe this was a sign that we're on our way to being attacked by the blacks. But my investigations have convinced me that that is not the case. I found out quite a bit of stuff and I felt very comfortable afterwards that that is not the case in this instance. That This is just normal stuff carrying on. But it shows you in South Africa, there's a lot of guns and a lot of bullets being fired. But I think that crime, I've always said it, that the government loves crime, wants crime, promotes crime. I've said it, man, and I stick to it. The government doesn't want white people to have guns to defend themselves with. The government wants black criminals to have guns and ammo to kill whites with. That I'm quite certain of. That I'm quite certain of. It's funny that they're always after the white people's guns, but you're not seeing anything about what's happening at the other end of the scale. Where the hell are those people getting their endless supplies of ammunition from? You're talking 26 years into black rule, and somehow the ammunition supplies to the criminals are not drying up, and the criminals seem to have guns. As for gun-free South Africa, they're just a bunch of garbage, and these bastards are walking around talking their liberal crap, and actually they are harming the ability of whites to defend themselves. So there you have your treasonous enemy within, the fifth column within, that is busy working actively with the government to disarm the whites. And gun-free South Africa is run by whites, in inverted commas. Gun-free South Africa, my friends, run by liberal whites, in inverted commas. And all their activities result in whites being with less guns and criminals still being right up there and rocking away. And who are these people who are renting out weapons? I've heard of the renting of weapons before. I've heard of the renting of weapons before. And recently, when there was xenophobia in South Africa, I heard from a truck driver, I spoke to a white guy who is a truck driver. He told me of a suburb close to where I live, and he said to me that in that suburb are Somalians, and they've got AK-47s, and they're ready to shoot at the blacks if the blacks try to kill them. And he was quite certain that this was the case. These blacks are able to do deals, my friend. They are able to break the law in more ways than you know. And here are the whites. It's always the whites who are just abiding by every single rule in the book. Meanwhile, the blacks are doing what the hell they want. Money is moving. I've seen in Africa, money can move. Money can move like a river. All kinds of things that blacks can do that whites cannot do. That whites are very limited and restricted in. Even when it's for situations of life and death, like crime, etc. But there's some weird stuff going on, and I hope this gives you a bit of information. Mass media, lying organization, they lie in favor of liberals and gun control. They lie in order to disarm people. They lie and use all kinds of incorrect statistics. And there are lots of gun organizations in South Africa, but the liberal mass media never puts out their side of the story. Lots of gun owner organizations, hunters, everybody with tens of thousands of people as members, maybe even more, and they are not getting any publicity whatsoever. Only the government gets publicity and gun-free South Africa gets publicity. And as you can see, they lied to the whites, they scared the whites into handing over maybe 900,000 weapons. And still, in 2020, they're still coming after us. Now the Minister of Police is saying that we should have one gun each, down from 12. But what it should show you is they are scared. They're scared, even though we aren't many, even though there are a lot of old people among us, they're scared, man. They are scared that these whites might just lay their hands on some guns and some ammo, and then they're going to have a problem. But the whites are doing nothing. They're just trying to freaking stay legal and stay alive. Personally, I think the government keeps crime alive. They don't want crime to go away. They want to keep crime alive because they'll be needing their criminals to use against us. Anyhow, So that is a wind-up of guns and ammunition in South Africa, the best that I can put out. And I hope that it gives you some idea of what the hell is going on. These are my websites, historyreview.com, africancrisis.info, and white-shop.biz. This is my attempt to try and do some Jew-free trading and experimenting with the next level of stuff. So, thank you very much for listening. We'll be chatting again soon. Take care of yourselves.